Well, as I mentioned to Sophie, our sermon text today is the parable, or not the parable, last week was the parable of the Good Samaritan. This week, it was Jesus encountering those 10 lepers from Luke's Gospel, chapter 17. We'll be reading verses 11 through 19, and it's on page 876 in your pew Bibles, if you'd like to follow along. I'd ask you to please rise again for the hearing of God's word from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17. And we will read in Jesus' holy name. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And he entered a village, and he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, and they said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" He said to him, "Rise and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for this account of Jesus' life, for his healing of these 10 lepers, and for the one that returned to give thanks. Lord, I pray that as we encounter this passage of Scripture today, you will show us our sinfulness, where we have fallen short of your glory. Show us, Lord, our need for a Savior, and point us to the finished work of Christ for us. God, as we encounter your word, I pray that you would also strengthen us for your service. We pray these things in your holy name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, last week we were taking a look at the parable of the Good Samaritan, and the parable had a surprise in it. You see, the people in the parable that should have been the good guys, you had the Levite and the priest, they should have been the good guys in that parable. They were actually the bad guys who didn't show mercy to the man who was beaten and left on the side of the road. But the person who should have been the villain, just the all-around bad guy, the Samaritan, who should have not just walked past the man who was beaten up, but probably kicked him on the way, the Samaritan turned out to be the good guy. He ended up being the guy who showed mercy, who was helpful, who acted like a neighbor, who bandaged the wounds of the man who was beaten on the side of the road and took him to the inn so that he might be brought back to health. Well, this week, we've also got a story with another Samaritan in it, a story with mixed company, Jews and Samaritans working together. We have 9 Jewish lepers, and we have 1 Samaritan leper. And surprise, surprise, once again in Jesus' teaching, the Samaritan turns out to be the good guy. Now, leprosy, or Hansen's disease, as it's known today, is a terrible disease. It affects the nerves and the respiratory tract, the skin and the eyes. As I mentioned to Sophie, it takes away your ability to feel pain, and so you end up injuring body parts over and over and over again until they become infected and you end up losing them. Up until the 1940s, there was really nothing that could be done for a person that was diagnosed with leprosy. So to be diagnosed with it was really a death sentence. But since the 1940s, there have been multi-drug treatments that have actually cured leprosy. So if you were to get diagnosed with it today, you could go to the doctor, and after a 24-month course of drugs, you could be cured and restored to health. But before that, the best you could do was hope to just treat some of the symptoms. In Scripture, we hear about leprosy a lot of times. The first time we hear about it is the Exodus event. In Exodus chapter 4, verse 6, God is giving Moses these signs to show to the Pharaoh to prove that he is sent by God. And one of the signs, he gets to turn his staff into a serpent, but another one, he sticks his hand into his cloak, and when he pulls it out, his hand is leprous, and then he puts it back, and it returns back into a healthy hand. We don't hear about what to do about leprosy, though, until Leviticus chapter 13. And in that chapter, God lays out what should be done if a person contracts leprosy. It says in Leviticus 13. The leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head hang loose, and he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, "Unclean, unclean." He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean, and he shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside of the camp. He would have been forced to leave his people to live on his own, or maybe with another community of lepers if there happened to be any around. Now, this isolation, this living by yourself, would have been a terrible thing. But for a faithful Jewish person, there was something far worse than just being separated from family and friends. You see, they couldn't go to the temple, they couldn't worship, and so they were, in fact, separated from their God. So to contract leprosy, it would have been awful because you were separated from people and you were separated from God all the while you were slowly dying. You might think that people had to leave town and cry out unclean because leprosy was a terribly contagious disease, but that's really not the case. God didn't give this law to protect the people from infection. So why were they separated then if it wasn't to prevent the contagion moving around? Well, they were certainly not separated because God didn't like them or he had cursed them in some way, as many people believed. Instead, they were separated from the community because leprosy was really a visible, and it was a graphic picture of the effects of sin. Do you know what I see when I look around our sanctuary this morning? I see a whole lot of faces of people that I genuinely, actually, and truly like. I see people that have been good to me. I see people who have been gracious to me, far more gracious than I deserve. I see people that I'm happy to be acquainted with, happy to call friends. What I don't see as I look around into the faces of our congregation is a bunch of evil people. That's not what my eyes perceive. None of you look like Snidely Whiplash or Lex Luthor or Lord Voldemort. Depending on how old you are, those will make different amounts of sense. But the truth of this is we're all sinners. We are all wretched people. We're all wicked. But God has been gracious to us, and we don't have to bear the marks of our wicked sinfulness on our faces for every person to see all of the time. But for the person diagnosed with leprosy, their bodies, they were falling apart. Not because they had sinned in a specific way and were receiving a specific curse from God, but just because they were sinful people that lived in a sinful world. You see, they were a visible outward example of the inward corruption that belongs to all of us as children of Adam and Eve. All of us are walking and talking wretched sinners, but with those who had been diagnosed with leprosy, you could see it in their bodies as well. See, they were walking and talking dead men and women, and we know that death is exactly what our sins have earned for us. It's exactly what we deserve. So here in our sermon text, we've got 10 people all diagnosed with that disease that was a death sentence. 10 people that had been forced to live out of society. 10 people that were forced to be away from the temple, that were forced to cry out unclean when they saw anyone. 10 people that you could just look at and see the effects of sin destroying their bodies. It was these 10 people that encountered Jesus as he was about to enter into a village. And rather than crying out unclean, they cried out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when Jesus saw them, he just said, "Go and show yourself to the priest." Which, if you flip back to Leviticus, that's what you're supposed to do. If your leprosy magically goes away or God cures it, you're supposed to go show yourselves to the priest and they'll readmit you into society. Jesus said, "Go and see the priest." And the 10 turned and they listened and they went. And as they went away, they noticed that their leprosy had been cured by the word of Jesus. See, they asked for mercy and Jesus had been merciful. But this isn't something that should surprise us. If we look throughout the Gospels, Jesus is constantly showing mercy to those that are in need. He often is healing the sick and giving sight to the blind, giving hearing to the deaf, loosening the tongues of the mute, He's even casting out demons and raising the dead. Mercy is what Jesus does. But it's not just from the Gospels that we get this idea of a merciful and gracious God. You see, God is gracious in creation. He's gracious even after humanity falls into sin in Genesis chapter 3. And his grace and mercy never stop. You can trace it through the pages of Scripture all the way to Revelation. See, God is the one who makes the sun to shine on the good and the evil alike. He sends rain on the just and the unjust. He is the God that James says gives good and perfect gifts. He's the God that provides for us, not because we've earned it or deserved it or because we're good people, but instead because of his goodness and divine mercy. You see, Jesus shows mercy on these 10 lepers, and they go away completely healed. The 9 Jewish lepers, they head to the temple, and they're going to be shown to be clean, and they'll be able to re-enter society and worship at the temple once again. These 9 lepers had received a great and wonderful gift of God's grace and mercy, and no doubt they had received this gift with great joy. They'd moved from death onto life, being removed from the community to being restored to the community of God. But there was one man, that Samaritan man, who noticed that he had been healed and then returned to Jesus to give thanks to him and praise to God for what happened. He had been healed in his body, and he knew that that kind of healing was only something that came by God's grace alone. And so if Jesus had given this gift, he knew that Jesus must have been sent by God, since he was giving away only that which God could give. You see, 10 men were healed that day, but 9 of them, the healing was only skin deep. All of them had their leprosy removed and could rejoin society and worship at the temple and live with their families again. All of them had received wonderful and gracious gifts, but 9 of them missed the most important gift: the forgiveness of sins. You see, Jesus drew near all 10 of these men, but only one of these men was drawn to Jesus, because only one of them received the gift that he offered with faith. You see, that Samaritan man was the only one who responded rightly and properly to the gifts that Jesus had given. And he received also the forgiveness of sins because he believed in God and he believed in the one the Father had sent, Jesus Christ. So while everyone else went away with a cleansing only skin deep, this Samaritan man was cleansed body and soul. So what should we take from this passage? What should we learn from this? Should we learn that we need to give thanks to God in every situation for every gift that he gives? Yeah, we should. We most definitely should take this away from this passage. How often do we go throughout our lives and not even give a single thought to the good things that God has given us in that day or in that week or in that month? It happens a lot, doesn't it? I'm willing to bet that you spend more days not thinking about God's good gifts than you do thinking about his good gifts and praising him for it. Do you want to know why I'm willing to bet that? Because that's my track record too. It's easy to go through life without a single thought about the good things we have been given. You see, it's much easier for us to look around and see the things that we don't have that we want, or to look at people who seem to be living the good life and to be envious of what they have. That's easier than looking at our own lives and realizing that every good thing that we have is a gift from God and then praising him for every gift that he's given. That's a hard life to live because we are a sinful, self-centered, and wretched people. And so we rarely do that. We certainly should learn from this passage, from this account of Jesus' life, that we should look around and always be seeing God's good gifts from the little things to the big things, and constantly be rejoicing and giving thanks for everything that he has given. Just like that Samaritan who had been cleansed, our lives should be marked with stopping, with turning back, with praising God in a loud voice and thanking him for everything that he gives us in both the good times of life and the bad times of life. Both when that we have extra money in our bank account and when we're not sure how we're going to pay our bills at the end of the month. Because everything we have in this life is a gift. But there's something even more important that we should take away from this story of the 10 lepers. You see, none of us looks like a leper outwardly. Even though we cannot see the effects of sin in our physical bodies like you can in the face of a leper, we're no less sinful. And we're no less in need of cleansing. Not in our physical bodies, but our souls. In our account today, Jesus came near all 10 of the lepers, but only one of the lepers was drawn to Jesus. Only one encountered Jesus and responded in repentance and in faith and in thanksgiving. Well, today, Jesus has drawn near to us as well. He's promised that he'll be here in his word. He's promised that he'll be here when we are gathered in his name, and so he is here, and he has drawn near to us. But if we don't hear his word today, if we don't respond to his call to repentance and faith, what good is Jesus drawing near to us? What benefit is it to us? You see, Jesus lived a perfect life, and he lived it in the place of sinners like you and me and all of mankind. He bore the sin of the world. He died the death that our sins had earned, and he did it in our place, and he rose again 3 days later, proclaiming his victory over sin, death, and the devil. But if when Jesus comes near to us, if we aren't drawn near to him, what does it benefit us? If we hear his call to repent and say, no, I think I'm okay. If we hear his call to confess and we refuse. If we hear his call to believe, trust, and rest in his finished work and every promise, but decide to go our own way, what have we benefited? You see, we might get warm, fuzzy feelings for showing up in church, but those warm, fuzzy feelings don't get us into heaven. You see, Jesus has drawn near to us today through his word, and he calls to us again. Hear his call this morning to repent and confess and to trust. He offers you everything that his perfect life and his sacrificial death have earned, and it is received freely by grace through faith. Today, Jesus has drawn near once again. Hear his call and rest in his finished work for you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this account of Jesus cleansing the 10 lepers. Thank you for your mercy that you had on them, and thank you for your mercy that you have on us. Lord, thank you that same forgiveness that you offered and gave to the Samaritan leper is a same forgiveness that you offer and give to us. Lord, may we hear your call. May we respond to it and give you thanks and praise. We pray these things, Lord, in your holy and precious name. Amen.